Welcome this morning to worship at Zion as we celebrate the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul, where we remember and commemorate the work of St. Peter and St. Paul for and on behalf of the church. Let us begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn, God of the Prophets, Bless the Prophet's Sons.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 29th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 682, God of the Prophets, Bless the Prophet's Son, 682, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Lyndon and Nola Dittus are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 37th wedding anniversary on July 2nd.
Please rise. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make it glad, the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 753, All for Christ I Have Forsaken. Hymn number 753 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
first reading from the book of Acts, the 15th chapter, beginning with the first verse. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Table of Duties, what does the Table of Duties say to employers and supervisors?
Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, there is no favoritism with him.
From the book of Galatians, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seem to be influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. O Lord, have mercy on us. We rise for a reading from the Holy Gospel. A reading from Matthew chapter 16, beginning at the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Sermon text this morning, or the sermon, is based on both the first and the second readings that we had before us today. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin our sermon this morning by saying, yesterday I was mowing my grass. And when you're mowing your grass, you get to do a lot of thinking. And I was thinking, but as I was mowing, I looked down, and in front of the mower was a little robin's egg. It's absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. There was a little robin's egg cracked open and laying on the in the grass. Obviously, it had been blown out of the tree by the wind, or maybe a crow or something had gotten into the nest and kicked it out and pecked at it or something of that nature. And it reminded me of Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And are not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more of value than many sparrows. And I just thought it was just kind of amazing how even the littlest thing, how the littlest thing like a robin's egg on the ground can remind you of the scriptures and bring the scriptures to the forefront of your mind and find there just a little bit of comfort in your daily life that God has not forgotten about you and that indeed you are worth more than many sparrows and that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Just thought that was pretty interesting yesterday. Anyway, today is St. Peter and St. Paul, the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul. Now, it's true that we don't invoke the saints, we don't pray to the saints, but we do remember them as heroes of the faith and examples of the Christian faith and living out the Christian life that we can follow. We can follow their conduct in life and in spirituality. Now, technically, all Christians who believe in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation are saints. So each and every one of you are one of God's saints, whether they be living or dead. Remember when we have communion, we say, therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Those are the saints, all the company of heaven are the saints who have gone before us into heaven and who are before the throne of God, praising him in his kingdom. However, the church has often recognized individuals who boldly confessed the faith or gave up their lives in defense of the faith, or refused to turn their back on Christ when they were commanded by worldly authorities to reject them. So we, for our part, remember those saints in much the same way we remember fallen service members on Memorial Day. And it's in that way that we remember St. Peter and St. Paul for having given their lives in service to the church. LCMS Air Force Chaplain Theodore Kleinhaus writes of St. Peter and Paul in his book, The Year of the Lord, The Church Year and Its Customs and Ceremonies. He writes, in pious legend, both Peter and Paul met death at the hand of the Roman Emperor Nero, who, it is said, instigated the persecution of Christians, blaming them for the great fire that destroyed nearly three-quarters of Rome in the year 64 AD. Peter was said to have been crucified in the Colosseum. His distinction, tradition tells us, was that he said he did not feel worthy to be put to death in the same manner as his Lord, and his crucifiers accommodated his wishes. And instead of crucifying him with his head facing the sky, they crucified Peter upside down. in Michelangelo's painting, The Crucifixion of Peter, a painting that's on the walls of the Pauline Chapel of the Vatican. Peter is painted in such a way as that he's laying on his cross upside down, being dragged by Roman soldiers, and at the same time he's lifting his head off of the cross and turning it and craning his neck in such a way as that the eyes look right at you as you look at the painting there in the chapel of St. Paul. And as Timothy Gray of St. Augustine Institute writes, it's as if Peter is asking, are you ready to die for Christ? Are you ready to follow Jesus all the way from your Galilee to your Golgotha? Are you ready for the cost of discipleship? To the clergy, Peter's eyes implore, are you ready to be a good shepherd, even if it means dying for your flock? Because that is what following Christ could potentially mean and where it could lead. St. Paul, on the other hand, was a Roman citizen. And as a Roman citizen, he was exempt from the horrors of crucifixion. Therefore, St. Paul was likely executed by beheading, a beheading that took place outside the city walls of Rome. It is safe to assume that no matter what kind of death St. Paul faced, he was prepared to meet his fate, for he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Put it encapsulated. Paul says, if I die, I get to go be with Jesus. If you throw me in prison, I get to tell people about Jesus. And if you let me go, I get to tell more people about Jesus. Paul was ready to go wherever the Lord had sent him. Paul's death could have been unrelated to Nero's persecution after the great fire, but no matter how he met his death, Paul's life laid a crucial foundation for the Christian faith. And St. Peter and St. Paul's day on June 29th neither marks the day of one of their births nor the day of one of their deaths. Instead, June 29th is said to mark the day that the Emperor Constantine removed their bodies from where they had been buried and had them brought to the city of Rome, for Constantine was the first Christian emperor. He had them brought to Rome and laid to rest in basilicas that he had built for them. They were buried in churches built to their memories. So today we commemorate these men, the apostles, who lived their lives to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ and literally gave their lives as martyrs for the Christian faith. The reading from the book of Acts and the reading from the book of Galatians for today shows us just how they contended for the truth of the gospel message against those who would have put the church back under the yoke of the Mosaic law and the slavery to the law of Moses. Because one of the great controversies in the early Christian church was over whether or not non-Jewish people, that is the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, the Gentile converts to Christianity, needed to become Jewish first, then follow all the laws of Moses, or if they could go straight from being a worshiper of Zeus or Jupiter and go straight into being a worshiper of Jesus Christ and become Christians that way. Now remember, there are three types of law that we are bound by, or that the Jews were bound by. They were the law of Moses, that is the ceremonial law with its sacrificial system, with all of its do's and its don'ts and its human regulations that sprung up around these laws, such as how far you could walk on the Sabbath day or what it was exactly that constituted work. Then there's the civil law and the moral law. These are the types of law that we are under. Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law, but we are still under the moral law and the civil law. That is, you know, we're not going to murder anybody and we obey the government. These are things that are important for us. And while Jesus fulfilled that ceremonial law, being perfect in the final sacrifice for the sins of the world, yes, we do still obey the moral and civil laws. What Paul ran into, though, was a group of people that were very zealous for the law, and they were saying that to be saved, a person had to first become a Jew. Now, that entailed being circumcised. Paul maintained that a person can go from worshiping pagan gods straight to being a Christian without converting to Judaism first. But what was the big deal? What was going on? What was really at stake? What was at stake was the person and the work of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? Is Jesus enough for you to be saved? Or is there going to have to be you and Jesus together, or a piece that you do and a piece that Jesus does? So what was at stake was the very gospel of Jesus Christ, the very good news that Jesus has earned our salvation for us. It was a mighty thing that was at stake. It was a massive thing that was at stake. And it's a very important question. Does salvation consist of Jesus alone, or is it Jesus and me together? For that would be a form of works righteousness. And while this might seem obvious to us, works righteousness is not good, and being that it implies or outright states that the work of Jesus on our behalf for our salvation wasn't enough, there was something that we needed to add to it. So this led to the first great church conference. The church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas and several other leaders of the congregation to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and the apostles at Jerusalem. They had a public discussion based on their experiences and their searching of Scripture before a formal decision was made. It was a good example to the church of how to figure out and handle dissensions among the people of God. Peter testified from personal experience at the house of Cornelius that Cornelius' family was given the Holy Spirit, just as the Jewish believers had been given the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and that God arranged for the Gentiles to be brought into the Christian church. You see, God saves Jew and non-Jew alike. God saves Jew and Gentile alike by the grace of Jesus Christ. Peter concluded that the Gentile converts did not need to go and become Jewish first and follow all the Jewish laws and then become a Christian. He believed that the converts should not be burdened with the yoke of the law. Paul and Barnabas upheld Peter's argument with their personal testimony and related what wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. The whole end of the matter is that Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses, and that non-Jewish converts to Christianity did not need to become Jewish first. Recognizing that in Christ there was neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, but rather that they were all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, June 29th, we recognize all the works that God did through St. Peter and St. Paul to build up and to establish the Christian church. We remember the trials and the tribulations that St. Peter and St. Paul endured, that they both gave their lives in service to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And following their sainted example, may we each also be ready to give our lives in service to Christ and to his church. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise as we sing the Te Deum. please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers, beginning with the singing of the Kyrie.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles Peter and Paul received grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, open our hearts wide through your love for us in Christ, that when we see a brother in need, we joyfully help him with the goods of this world, which you have placed into our hands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Lord, send forth your servants to all corners of the earth, that your eternal banquet hall may be filled. Keep them steadfast in preaching the blessed invitation of the gospel, that all hungry and weary sinners may find righteousness and nourishment in Jesus Christ, who has made everything ready by his death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, help parents to set their children's feet firmly on wisdom's path by raising them in the fear and knowledge of you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, preserve peace in our land and uphold our nation's leaders, especially Donald, our president, and JB, our governor. Enable our leaders, lawmakers, and judges to govern according to your will and not contrary to your order, knowing that all authority under heaven comes from you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, give comfort to the sick, especially to Carl, who has returned home from the hospital, and to Mark, who is currently hospitalized. Bring strength to their bodies through your appointed means. And also we implore you to receive the thanksgiving of Joanne Marlin for successful kidney cystoscopy performed earlier this week. We also pray for you to comfort the lonely and those who mourn and hear the prayers of all those who are in need. You are the Lord who feeds and nourishes us with your wisdom. Help us to turn to you in faith and find our every want and need answered in your gracious favor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his vicarious satisfaction from his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for you alone, to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
The closing hymn is hymn number 698. May we thy precepts, Lord, fulfill. Hymn number 698, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Be seated. I would like to remind everyone to look at the bulletin for all the announcements that are in the bulletin, especially the pictorial directory announcement, and also remind everyone also that we have a voters meeting about 9:10 this morning, so we will reconvene here at 9:10. Lori, did you have something about the pictorial directory?
Yes. Sign up is for pictures is today and the following next two Sundays. I'll be out in the fellowship hall with the sign-up sheets for the pictures for the pictorial directory. And the pictures are going to be taken Friday, July 25th, Saturday the 26th, and Sunday the 27th. So be sure and get signed up. We would love to have at least 65 families sign up for pictures. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. And may the Lord bless all of you. May I bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.